Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. What do we say here, Jack? What do we say? All the good vibes heading into the All-Star break, all the excitement, all the we swept the Marlins in Miami. They never do that. And then it's just like right back to where we always are, right back to where we know. What a disappointing weekend. What an embarrassing weekend of baseball from the Phillies, from everybody. We'll obviously get into the Nick Castellanos thing, but like just such a loser weekend from the Phillies. For the first time coming out of the All-Star break, and they've been competitive the last few years, Jack, but the first time coming out of the All-Star break, we're all like, you know what? I feel good about this team. They just kick us right in the teeth. Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
That's a stupid question.
Oh, but thank you.
Good That's job. A stupid question.
By the way, presented by Miller Lite. We love Miller Lite. Miller Lite, the one good thing about this season right now. And honestly, I didn't even want to do the podcast today. That's how annoyed I am with this team. I'm basically doing it so we could tell you about our event on Thursday night, because you should come hang out with us and it's going to be super fun. So you're welcome. Miller Lite is the only reason you have a podcast right now. So there you go. That's how I feel. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, and you know, sometimes, I don't know, this podcast, I think is, I would say that no podcast rides the highs harder and no one rides the lows worse than this podcast. And I guess where I'm at right now is that what I watched this weekend was a team that, one, I felt like view the win over the Marlins and the series win over the Marlins as like a division clinching thing. Like, I think they viewed beating the Marlins as like, okay, now we've arrived, which is like such a sad existence that you beat a bad baseball team in Miami, you sweep a bad baseball team in Miami, and you think, okay, we're good now. And how they played this weekend pretty much confirmed every single doubter's, you know, worry about this team. Like, every single doubter was it worked for them this weekend. Like, that's what they did, was create doubt in a fan base that I would think largely, I would say, what, James, like 80% were feeling good about them and believe that this team had a different feel than years past. And I know we've been suckers to that in the past, but it really did feel I mean, no podcast has been more suckers to believing in this team. More me than you. I don't feel like I need to lump you into this. But I think even the doubters viewed this team as different. And that's what makes this weekend so frustrating. It's like you come off a big series win against Miami. You build up a lot of goodwill. I know hopes were down a little bit heading into that Miami series. And they stabilized and they had an impressive weekend. I mean, they killed the Marlins, and to go and do that this weekend, like, truly winning teams don't do that. Like, truly different teams don't do that. You know, it seems like as Schwarber's cooled off, everything has cooled off. Like, Friday night was just embarrassing. I mean, legitimately one of the worst weekends of my life, James, one of the worst weekends.
Oh, like,
it's one of the worst weekends of my life. I'm really down. I really am.
Yeah. Last time you were really down, I was trying to pick you up. You ain't going to get that for me. And look, you know, they're still three games over 500 and there's still a lot of baseball to play, and they got a lot of bad teams on their schedule. Like, that means anything, apparently. I mean, the Cubs are 38-57 after sweeping the Phillies. Like, man, that's a bad baseball team. They came into this series at 35-57, 22 games below 500, this Cubs team coming into this series, and the Phillies are fighting for a freaking playoff spot. Like, it was infuriating. It was a mail-it-in weekend. no big hits. No, you know, today, you know, they get runners on the ninth, the Didi fly out. Like, they just can't get anything going. Castellanos just sucks. Like, what a flat out loser. And we'll get to the thing, because I actually am. I think this specific instance, we'll get to the thing with him in Salisbury, to your the stupid question. I actually don't think he's, like, I don't think he's wrong in the moment. I think he's just, you know, you're struggling, dude. Like, just shut up and figure out how to hit baseballs. But we'll get into the specifics of all that. But just across the board, yeah, it feels like a really down time for this team right now in terms of what we expect next night. Like, I don't expect to, like, they were down 4-3 and you know, like, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, whatever, like, I'm like, oh, they're going to come back. They'll get a hit. They'll tie this game. And, like, I just thought they were going to lose today. I really did. I watched. I was like, eh. I was like, you know, they're going to lose. And that sucks, because that's not the vibe of the team that has gotten us so excited. And they're starting to show the cracks without Harper, without Segura, with the injuries they've had, with no Eflin. And we talked about Dombrowski needing to go out and do something to help this team. He didn't. And this is what you see coming out. There's no fire from this team. And they played crappy baseball. I almost cursed, Jack. I almost said a different word for right. The baseball that they played.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm looking at the Cubs lineup, and I'm like, yeah, I might be more afraid of more people in the Cubs lineup than I am the Phillies lineup, which is, like, such a disappointing spot to be in. But, I mean, their first, like, six hitters, at least they're all batting, like, over 250 or whatever. So, yeah, it was a really frustrating weekend. I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not in the mode, and maybe you are, I'm not, like, with the whole, I'm not throwing in the towel, like,
No, definitely bad. Not, definitely not.
Like, I don't feel that way. I view this as, like, a frustrating weekend. I still, same. Like, they're two games out of a wild card. Like, they're three games over 500. I can't do the whole season's over, like, they lose, they play bad for a weekend, it's like, okay, yep, bad, not gonna check in, like, don't believe. It's like, listen, it was a bad weekend, and I do believe that winning teams don't do that. But I also think, you mentioned it, the loss of Segura and loss of Harper. I mean, like, now the players that you were relying on, now they can't go cold. Like, Hoskins, and I know Hoskins had a couple hits today, and whatever. Schwarber had let off the second half with a homer and then did nothing. But, like, when those guys go cold, you know, there's no one behind them that can pick them up. And it's pretty much like, if those guys don't hit a home run, then it's really hard for the team to win. And then you're relying on a starting staff that's been pretty good. I mean, like, the Falter start is basically just a bullpen game at this point, which is, it's so annoying, because I do think Falter can be good. Just, I mean, like, he goes down to AAA and he's pretty good. And then he comes up here and it's like batting practice. But the starting rotation has been pretty good. The bullpen's been much better than I think a lot of us thought or even felt a month and a half, 2 months ago. And the offense, the thing that everyone was banking on as the thing that was going to carry this team, and the thing that they went over the luxury tax to smash the bell, as they said, they've just been woefully disappointing. And I know Segura and Harper are out, but you look at Castellanos, you look at... Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, buddy. You look at JT and Didi, and there's nothing. There's just nothing there. When Castellanos was leading off the ninth today, I was like, oh well, they're down. They have two outs left, because he's an automatic out at this point. So, you know, it's really annoying. But, like, They need something to kind of flip the switch again and get going. And I just don't know how, after the series in Miami, after getting a little bit of a breather, I just don't know how you come out that flat. And that's what's so frustrating about what happened this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's such a great way to put it. They came out completely flat. And look, I mean, you know, I think you can blame a large share. Look, there's blame to go around, and the injuries, and, you know, JT certainly deserves his share of blame. Didi, I think Didi's kind of cooked. I just think he is what he is. But, you know, he's not the player they were hoping. He's certainly not the player they're playing for. But, you know, it is what it is. Nick Castellanos sucks. Like, what a loser. Like, this guy is as responsible for this Phillies team not being able to pick it up as anyone. Without doubt. Like, Harper goes down. Step the bleep up, man. Like, Jesus. Like,
I hate it. It drives me crazy. All right, let's just get into the Castellanos thing, because you know we can talk about. I can't talk about him hitting, so let's talk about him talking, Jack. What'd you make of the Salisbury thing? I'm sure everyone's seen it by now. If you haven't, basically, after the game yesterday, Salisbury asked him a question, basically says, did you hear the booing? And Castellanos is like, that's a stupid question. And, you know, he's not necessarily wrong. You know, it's like, you know, he's basically like, I heard the, of course, well, I heard the booing.
It's more like a question for a follow-up.
Yeah, like, exactly. Then Jim should have followed up and gotten, okay, well, how do you respond to the fans booing you? Or whatever. Or the very first question, let's be honest, the very first question should have been, hey, you heard the fans booing tonight. You know, how does that make you feel? Or how do you respond to that? Or do you appreciate the fans? Or whatever. Like, there are a bunch of different questions you could ask. I agree with Castellanos that Jim phrased it poorly and he didn't follow up the right way. But at the same time, Castellanos also just, you know, you stink, dude. Like, you don't have a lot of leeway to do that. I'm sorry. Like, if he were hitting and that kind of thing happened, I would be 100% on his side, because I do agree and I understand it can get frustrating. And a question like, did you hear the booing? I understand it can be like, man, come on, what kind of question is that? You know I heard it. Like, it was crazy loud. I my ears work. Like, of course I heard it. So I can understand him getting bristly at that. But, dude, you stink. Like, you're not allowed. You don't have any leeway. You have no leeway. So even if you're in the right in certain ways with this, you're going to come off looking wrong. Like, go out and hit baseballs. You have a college degree. Go hit baseballs, right? Like, don't worry about any of this other crap. And I get it. He's frustrated. But what did you make of the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think on one hand, apparently like 90 seconds of it was taken out, and it wasn't like as quick of an escalation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually really interesting and it's very important. Context matters.
Yeah. Like, when you're looking at the whole story, like, it's a very important, it's not like it went from 0 to 100. Like, apparently there was follow-ups, and then, but the way it was cut, is how it ended up looking. You know, it frustrates me. Like, I think Alec Boehm showed exactly how you should handle these situations, you know, come out and be honest, and the city will embrace you. But these kind of instances, and I know Castellanos has traditionally been a fiery guy. You know, if I was in a situation, if I was in his shoes, I would be frustrated too. And I would be annoyed at the line of questioning. But at the same time, like, he's gotten off so easy here. Like he hasn't received any criticism, and it's almost August. It's the end of July, and this is and he hasn't hit, by the way, since May, you know, since early May. And he just hasn't received any criticism. Like, sure, maybe on social media, but that was the first time I think he's really been booed, was last night. And you know, to come out and have that kind of response, like, you haven't gone through it enough here to have that kind of, like, visceral reaction. And to me, it just sets up for a bristly 5 years if he doesn't start hitting and he doesn't figure it out. Like, I'm not ready to give up on Castellanos the player and it's never going to work out here and whatnot, but, like, that moment's going to stick with fans for a while. You got to come out and turn it around offensively for them really to get over it, because his first reaction was not accountability. You know, it was that situation. On Salisbury's end, you know, I do think now the 90-second context matters, obviously. But I think he got a little emotional about it, you know, just because, you know, he was being challenged, I feel like, a little bit, and he didn't think it was a bad question and whatnot. So, you know, I don't think Jim was totally correct there, but really, for me, like, with Castellanos, like, you haven't gotten it at all. Like, you haven't been ripped, you haven't been booed, and you've been bad and killing this team for a month and a half now, and especially when Bryce goes down. So I don't want to hear the bristle after the game if you're not going to back it up and go hit. And today, again, it's just like weak contact, bad swing and misses. Like they say he's grinding and working all the time to figure it out. I need to see some results, because that's one of those moments that this fan base will not forget. That's a stupid question. It's something that's going to be used all over.
Has there ever been a bigger, like every single show at WIP will have that on the drop board. Every single one.
Oh, I already thought about it. Yeah, I was almost going to drive in today and add it to, add it to my drop board on a Sunday. It just creates that little divide by not just kind of being like, you know, Bryce kind of laid out the template a couple years ago with the whole, I would boo me too. And it just, it's one of those moments that's not casting on his personality, but he's also never been this bad of a hitter. So I'm sure he's frustrated. I'm sure the fans are frustrated. And my only hope is that this is something that can kind of get him going a little bit. The first chance for that was not a great one.
Yeah, I'm done with the this will get them going or this will get him going thing. We've just been, to talk about being suckers, we've just been way too wrong with that way too often. Oh, this is the thing. Oh, this moment. Oh, this is going to fuel the team. Yeah, we'll see. But I think you nailed it. And that's kind of, you know, where I was trying to say less eloquently that, you know, this guy, you know, I understand how you could be bristly. I understand you're upset. You're struggling too. But, you know, I think he went too far with it, and he doesn't have the ground, the standing right now to do that. You know, he just needs to take his L's on the chin, bro, because you got a ton of L's hanging off you right now. So just take them on the chin. And to the point with Salisbury, yeah, I think that's kind of the way Salisbury does his questions too. He'll always do the kind of question and just kind of see how you're feeling and then ask the follow-up and stuff. So I don't blame Salisbury in this at all. Like, I understand what he was trying to get to and stuff, but I understand why Castellanos heard that specific question, was like, yeah, of course I heard the booze. He just handled it the wrong way. And it's because he's angry and it's because he's pissed off. And I get it. But like, sorry, man. You made a great point, Jack. Like, for someone who has gotten the kind of money he got and has played the way he has played, like, that dude in Philly gets crushed. We crush those guys. The guys who get the big contracts and don't live up to them or don't come close, and honestly, a lot of the time, as we've talked about, look like they almost don't even care when they're out there, the Nomdies of the world. Like, those guys are going to get crushed in this city. And Castellanos has kind of, like, skirted past a lot of that so far. You know, we've complained about his hitting and stuff, but he really has not gotten crushed. He hasn't gotten the booze. And you know, outside of the interaction between Salisbury and Castellanos, those booze were well deserved. Well over, you know, over
were
time.
Were you in the ballpark, by the way?
I was
leading the charge?
Yeah. I mean, they were deserved. Like, dude, like, sorry, you deserve to get booed. You suck right now. Like, you've sucked so hard in a Phillies uniform. You are as big a reason this team can't freaking hang on or isn't 10 games over 500 instead of 3 as there is on this baseball team. Like, you stink. So you have no ground. You have no hand, to quote George Costanza. You have no hand in this relationship, all right? You just got to put your head down and get better and hit some baseballs and shut up. So that's where
I just, I got to be honest. I just don't think this is something that's going to end up, I don't have a good feeling about this. Like, there's the relationship between Castellanos and the fans. He doesn't seem like a guy that's going to, you know, just take his L's, as you said. Like, he seems like someone that's going to, like, I could totally see him, like, hitting a big home run and then, like, giving the thumbs down to the fans. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see this really ending that well. And for a guy who's here for the next 4 years after this, that's not a great place to be at.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly, Jack. All right, we'll get to, do you have anything else on the weekend or whatever? Because I honestly don't care anymore about the weekend. We're moving forward. Like you said, it was just a horrible weekend. I hate this team right now. I don't really have anything else to say from the weekend before we move on. Did you have anything else you want to say about the weekend?
No, I'll just put it in the take bag.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, so we'll get to the take bag and the somewhere between 15-20 minutes of draft monologuing that Jack's going to do. But
coming out with us. This is the main reason for the pod today is we are going to be hanging out at Time Out Sports Bar in Skipback, PA on Skipback Pike. It's going to be this Thursday night, a special watch party with Fritz and me, July 28th at 6:30. We will be there. We'll be watching the Phillies game there that night. There will be a special appearance from a Phillies alumnus. Can't wait to see who that is. And, of course, there's a $3 Miller Lite special for the night. And, again, you know, we're going to be hanging out. We're going to be watching a baseball game. Come hang out with us. At least we can find some fun in the sadness that is the Nick Castellanos era, Jack.
Once again, your fault. And, listen, they're playing the Pirates, so maybe they can maybe they can snap their six-game losing streak. Would we still be there if they have a 6-game winning streak? Can we? You sure? I mean, I guess worst case scenario is we have a thousand Miller Lights and hang out with a Phillies alumnus that could be Chase Utley.
Sure. Yeah. Probably it'll be Chase Utley guessing.
Apparently he's the new he's the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom for baseball.
Wow! Look at that.
No, that sounds like a government job. No, he's just like an ambassador for Major League Baseball in the United Kingdom.
Well, maybe he can be the ambassador to the High Hopes podcast, the most important podcast in baseball.
Yeah. Before he goes and hangs out with UK Phillies, you know, why don't you come hang out and skip back first?
That's right. I mean, it's Time Out Sports Bar. What a blast. I mean, who needs to go to England when you can go to Time Out Sports Bar? That's what I'm saying, Jack.
Yeah, I agree.
I am really excited.
And
it's going to be fun.
Just a clock anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's just a clock.
Just bring the takes. Bring the takes, buddy. Just keep them coming. I love it. This is good. It's going to be awesome coming out with us, Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We love our Miller Lites. Fritzy, give us the take back, buddy.
All right. I will save my favorite picks of the draft for later. So we'll go take bag, and then we'll do my favorite player in the draft. All right, that sound fair to you?
Sounds fair, my friend. Sounds whatever. This is your world, buddy. I showed up. I did my read. I got people excited about our event. Like, I'm done for all intents and purposes. So, you know, I'll edit it. I'll post it. You know, you're good now. So do your thing.
Just give me the ball and get out of the way. I want to start off take bag by giving a special shout out to my new friend and longtime listener of the High Host podcast, Doug, who owns the Alpaca 8 Ranch in Purcellville, Virginia.
Oh, this is amazing. Did you go hang out with alpacas in Virginia?
I did. Awesome. I texted
shout
Seltzer.
Out to Doug.
I texted Seltzer on Thursday and I said, guess what I'm about to do. I'm also going to go hang out at an alpaca ranch on my drive home from Elkton, Virginia, where Jill and I spent a week or not. We spent like 3 days in like a yurt with no service, got completely disconnected and had beers and hiked. So that was awesome. And then on my way home, Doug was like, hey, would love for you to stop by my alpaca ranch. Love the podcast. He has an alpaca named Harper, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
and another one named Scherzer, who, because it has two discolored eyes. So it was kind of
cool.
Wild. It was kind of wild seeing that. So it was a really cool spot. If you're ever in the area, it's like in the northern Virginia, right by Harper's Ferry, I guess. It's like 15 minutes from Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Go meet a great Phils fan and meet some alpacas/llamas and learn all about that stuff. So that was cool. Farm life seems fun. And shout out to Doug.
Jack, you know, Fish has a song called Llama. So there you go.
Do they? Do they? How was Fish, by the way? I mean,
Llama to boot to boot.
142
Fish rocks.
For you?
I don't know. Somewhere in the 140, 150 range. I stopped counting a little while back, but it was super fun, man. I had a blast. I'm still recovering, though. Between that and I had a party yesterday, like, this isn't the hangover pod, but I'm definitely not hungover right now.
How many repeats?
None. Obviously. They're not going to repeat a song in the same venue. They don't do that, Jack. Come on, buddy. You out of your mind?
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, hey, maybe your mayor will join them next after the Grateful
Dead. Oh, there you go, buddy. There you go.
All right.
Are you done? Are you done yet? Do you have more you want to talk about?
Not even. No, okay. Not even close, Michael Jordan. Not even close. So today they put Matt Vierling at the leadoff spot, and let me just say this: if they're going to put Vierling there, then you have to commit to it. Like, you can't just do the whole he's there, he's not, he's there, he's not, because you saw already in his at bats that like it's an adjustment period for him. He's going from like batting 7, 8, 9 to batting 1, which is fine because he does put up, he puts together good at bats. But like you saw today that he was clearly pressing. So if you want to make him the leadoff hitter, then you better stick to it. Because if you don't, then it's like, okay, well, he was terrible for 3 games. We're going to move him back down to 7, 8, 9. We're going to put Schwarber back up there. And then maybe Matt Vierling is not the same player that we'd seen for the last month and a half. So, you know, I understand why they did it. I think he puts together good at bats. Like, you know, him, Hoskins, Schwarber, Bohm, you know, those are kind of the guys that I look at as putting together good at bats. I just don't want to see him ruined by being at the leadoff spot. And I don't want to see him take a step back because I really have enjoyed watching Matt Vierling for the last month and a half. Like, one of the bright spots of this team. So if you're going to do it, fine. Like, I think it makes sense. You get Schwarber with hopefully more runners on base, but you got to commit to it. You can't just do the 3 games up, 3 games down thing. If you're going to do it, give me at least 10.
Sure. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I would probably still keep Schwarber in the leadoff spot, but I understand why they're doing it, and I agree. Don't just do it for a game and then abandon it. By the way, I would rather just focus on correcting you. You said the Phillies were 2 games out of the wild cards spot. They're only 1 game out, Jack, just so you know. So, you're welcome.
I thought the Cardinals won today.
Cardinals lost to the Reds today, buddy.
They lost again to the Reds?
They lost again to the Reds. All right. Wow. How about that? Other teams have issues too, buddy.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, getting swept by the Reds is worse than getting swept by the Cubs.
Yeah, they didn't get swept. They won one of them, right? But it's pretty close, actually.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, they're 1 game apart, the Cubs and the Reds, 1.5. So it's basically the same thing.
Listen, Cardinals are losers. You heard it here first. James, I physically cannot watch Didi Gregorius play baseball anymore.
Oh, it's
like,
so rough.
Well, actually, defensively, he's actually kind of fun. He made a really nice play today. But, dude, like, I don't know if this is going to make sense to you, but every single time he hits a baseball, it looks like he is hitting a sand wedge out of a sand trap. Like, it's just such a weak little pop-up. And I swear to God, he's just hitting a golf club. And unless his bat is like 45 ounces, like, he has so little power right now, and it's just such weak contact. And frankly, I don't know why he still tries to hit the ball in the air. Like, I would just bunt almost every time down a third baseline and see what happens. You know, there's a lot of unwatchable players in this team, Jerry's Familia being one of them, Castellanos at this point. But Didi is just another level. And I don't know what they're going to do when Gene's coming back. Because apparently he's talking like he could be back August 3rd, 4th.
Wow.
He said that on Friday, which I thought was insane. Because I was pretty much like, all right, he won't be back till September. He seems like he's going to be back soon. There's just no way I'm not putting Stott on the bench because I need him to get his reps. I don't know.
He's been like the most competitive at bats you've been getting.
Oh, which is crazy because he's still batting 190.
I know.
But the thing is, like, also his second base defense has just been pretty ridiculous. So
he's been phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Do you put Stott at shortstop and Gene at second? Do you put Gene at shortstop, Bryson at second? Either way, like, I don't care if Didi's making $14 million. Like, I can't play him over those guys.
We're way too deep in the season to do that.
Like, and they're already showing that, like Topper's already showing that he'll move guys down. He doesn't care about money.
Who you are. Yeah, Topper doesn't mess around with that.
Yeah, well, listen, he did put Familia in a tight game.
I know, buddy. I just wanted to throw a Topper in at your Topper. I'm not super happy with Topper right now.
Yeah, yeah. Some shaky decisions this week.
I think the real symbol of where we're at with Didi Gregorius is you saying just bunt it down the third base every line time and see what happens. That's and me thinking, sure.
Just hit them where they ain't, Didi, or bunt them where they ain't. I don't care. Yeah, it's just, dude, I swear to God, like every time it hits the baseball in the air, I'm like, that looks like a sand wedge. Like it really does.
It just kind of like softly flies into the outfielder's glove every time.
It's like he's just always hitting a flop shot. It's wild. James, it feels like, and I don't know how you feel, but it does feel like we're heading towards one of those deadlines where they're going to trade for, like, Martin Perez.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Jose Quintana or, you know.
I actually think Martin Perez is probably too good for what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, he has a classic, like, was an all-star this year and then been, like, kind of bad the second half. Not the second half, but, like, the last month. And I only say that because I own him in fantasy and he's just crushing me right now.
I know, me too, buddy. He'd been so good for so long, though, that you know, and I picked him up off the wire. So props, Martin. That's my guy. Still my guy.
Yeah, so it feels like we're heading towards that direction. And I know that people are saying, well, do you really want to invest in this team, in a team that is, you know, competing for like the third wild card spot? And I guess my answer to that is, you know, I want to go after someone that can help next year too. Like that's, and if it comes this deadline, it comes this deadline, or if it's this offseason, whatever, I just think that, you know, I'm not ready to throw in the towel and I'd rather go get a difference maker. And for the first time, I actually am willing to put like a Mick Abel on the table.
Whoa!
To go get like a real. I would go get another big time starter. You know, I would put him in a package to try to go get Montas or Castillo from the Reds or whatever. Like, and it's not that I'm like down on Mick Abel at all. I think he's gonna be a good pitcher. But I guess where I finally got to with this team is that I actually trust their pitching development for the first time in forever. And I think that they can continue to find and develop like the Mick Abels of the world. So like we don't need to hold on to all of them. Like if we hold on to all of them and all three of them come up and we have like this 90s Braves rotation, like sure, that's like the ultimate outcome. But you know, if you want to use that kind of an arm now for a team that's in their window to go compete, I think I would probably do it. Will they do it? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to trade any of those arms to go get a guy for now. But when you look at the trajectory of the franchise, like by the time that Abel, Griff, and Griff will be up faster, and Painter, who I think is untouchable, but like, what does a team look like when those guys are up here? Griff should be up by next year, so whatever. But like Painter and Abel, like, is it going to be a 33-year-old Bryce? You know, is it going to be like a 33-year-old Castellanos? Like, these guys are getting older. So if you go out and trade one of the guys now, you go get a guy for the next year where you have a front three of Wheeler, Nola, Montas/Castillo. That's pretty dominant. You bank on Bryce being healthy again. You maybe bring back Gene Stott second year, Boehm, who continues to look pretty good offensively, defensively was a massive regression last night. I just think it makes sense from a team building standpoint for where this team is at. So I think it's something they should consider. I don't know if they will. But for the first time, I'm okay with doing it because I do think that, you know, if you want to draft a high school prep arm in the first round next year, I think they're going to do a good job of developing them. They've really done a good job when it comes to getting these pitchers ready to go. And I think as they continue to get more talent down there, they're going to continue churning out results.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you've got a core that you have to commit to. Like, this is like you have committed to this core. So it's either going to work or it's not, but the kids in the minors aren't going to be a part of that. Like, Mick Abel is not going to pitch Bryce Harper to World Series, most likely, unless, like you said, it's an older Bryce Harper. So I'm with you on all that. I would like to see them do something. I think they need to do something. And look, it's, you know, I'm 100% with you. I need someone who's going to be here past this year. The only way I'm going for rental guys is if I'm, you know, giving up org guys or, you know, giving up cash. I'm fine with that type of move. But in terms of if I'm giving up something real, I'm absolutely getting someone who's going to be here past this season. That's a must for me, and I'm with you. I think that's a smart way to do things. So yeah, I don't know if they will either. I really don't. And I think this next, you know, week is going to, you know, kind of drive their decision. If they continue to sputter, it could, you know, change their decision. So it is kind of a pivot point with that. But ultimately, I would commit to this core. I think you already have, in the way the organization, it's like a double barrel thing. You got the young guys, and you got the core at the major league level. Like, you know, they're not that close together, unfortunately.
Or you want to get really crazy and go get Xander from the Red Sox, who are falling apart. That would be fun as well.
So I would be down with that.
Yeah, listen, get Dave Dombrowski, get the whole crew back together. There was nothing more infuriating than having to watch Drew Smyly dominate today and then David Robertson close it out. What did we do to deserve this? You know, like, David Robertson was the most durable reliever in the sport. His career ERA is like 2.83. He comes here, and for the first time in his career, his arm blows out. And it's just like, these things never work out in our favor. And having to watch a failed free agent signing dominating, I guess he didn't dominate, but whatever, like, shut us out in the ninth was just like, really? Just to pour some sand over us. That's what we got to do. So, whatever. Frustrating weekend.
Same thought, buddy. Exactly the same thought. Yep.
There's nothing that frustrates me more, James, after losses than the, well, I guess it wasn't Girardi's fault crowd.
Is that a crowd? What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Jesus. Listen, very clearly, Joe Girardi had a healthy MVP Bryce Harper. He had 2 months of Gene Segura. He had a fully healthy rotation and the same bullpen. And they were 22-29. Like, I'm sorry. He was a terrible manager. Just because the roster is not perfect doesn't mean that Girardi also wasn't an abject failure here. So if you're thinking, oh, well, see, it wasn't Girardi's fault. The guy had a full roster, whereas our guy, Topper, is dealing with Derek Hall being brought up and batting in the cleanup spot, which isn't like a big problem. Nick Castellanos not hitting. Schwarber going cold. Like, he's got no fifth starter at this point. You know, let's lay off the whole, well, let's see, it wasn't all Girardi's fault.
I legit didn't know that was a thing, so I'm with you.
Very disappointing. James, I don't know why I have to start every one of those but it feels authoritative.
I thought you did good there. I thought it was good.
There is, like, I am very pro Big Poppy being in the Hall of Fame. Like, I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I just don't understand how he's a lock, no doubt about a Hall of Famer, and there's so many other guys that were also in the Mitchell Report that are not. And it's just like,
Where is this coming? Yes. I know, I've said this, like, forever.
I know I'm preaching to the choir with you here. But it's like, I'm watching these Big Poppy, like, Hall of Fame stuff that's going on today, and it's like, yeah, I agree, but, like, what separates him from every other steroid guy?
It's a great question, Jack.
Like, why is he, and, like, Pudge is the same thing. And I think they're all, like, it's not that I don't think Big Poppy's a Hall of Famer. I think they're all Hall of Famers. But it's just like this disingenuous, like, oh, Big Poppy this, Big Poppy that. Like, well, he was also on the Mitchell Report as well. So, you know, whatever. It's just let the people that we watch that we know are Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame. I mean, come on.
I hate it. I'm so obviously so with you. So with you.
And the last thing to take back before I get to my favorite picks in the draft is Juan Soto.
Yeah, real quick, I'm happy you brought this up because I'm sure people saw it, and I did not. I really did try to like disconnect. Obviously, I wasn't in a yurt with no service. That's probably the best way to disconnect. But I did try and disconnect this week, and one of the few things that kind of made it through my disconnection was people losing their minds at Joe Giglio for saying he would trade Bryce Harper for Juan Soto, acting like it was like the craziest, dumbest thing that they've ever heard. People were like, and look, I love Bryce Harper, but, like, it's Juan Soto. Like, what are we doing here? I'm so confused, Jack. I didn't understand the vitriol and hate going on there.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. So, I mean, Bryce did win an MVP here. He's our guy. I get it.
Love him, but Juan Soto's like 6 years younger.
I know. It's also never going to happen, so I don't really
of
care.
Of course not. It's an absurd notion. Like, they're going to trade Bryce Harper back to Washington? Like, come on.
It's a great take. But
it was a great take. Great take.
I just, like, I wonder if he ends up being a Met. Like, I'll be so infuriated, you know.
He could, it's just, man. Like, he could.
He definitely could.
Straight wild card.
Although, if I got to be honest, like, I have a feeling that they're not going to. Well, they very well could, and this could all, be for naught. But I have this feeling that they're going to sign Judge this offseason just so Steve Cohen can, like, announce that he's arrived. You know what I mean? Like, I have a feeling that Judge is going to be a Met after.
Wow.
Like,
I'd rather Judge be a Met than Soto be a Met.
Yeah. Judge's answer at the All-Star game was one of the more insane things I've ever seen, where he's like, he's basically like, I'm not going back next year. So, it was like one of the, like, if we were doing sports radio in New York, like, I think I would have cried on the air, honestly.
Yeah. I know.
So I don't know where he goes. You know, some Yankees prospects were pulled from the game today. That could be for Castillo, could be for Soto. Soto's still playing, so I guess that might not be happening. You know, the Yankees, like, this should be the trade. Like, this is a Steinbrenner, you know, kind of go get Juan Soto move that, you know, they would have done back in the day. Mets make sense. The team that I think should be all over it and could be all over it, I think the Cardinals make a ton of sense. You know, like, they already have Goldie and Arenado, and they have, like, a ton of interesting prospects that, like, they want to trade Libertor, Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, Dylan Carlson. Like, they have enough ammunition to go get it. So, if he gets traded there, you know, that definitely hurts the Phil's wildcard chances. It's just, like, imagine being the Nationals and, like, 2019, you win the World Series, and within 3 years, like, you're trading a 23-year-old phenom. Rendon's gone. Strasburg's hurt. Corbin's hurt. Scherzer's a Met. Like, it seems like just what a deconstruction of what was a truly phenomenal Nationals team.
Yeah, it is very quickly being taken apart. They're like, all right, we got our chip. We're out. See you guys. We'll be good in 20 years. Good luck.
Well, yeah, I think, like, Lerner is selling the team, and they're going through that right now. So I actually don't blame Soto. Like, he seems like he, like, wants to be on a winner.
I don't blame him at all, dude, at all.
Like, why would he want to sit there and play for a 60-win team for the next 4 years in the middle of his prime?
And the contract they offered him was BS. All the deferred money, like, it came out to, like, 29 a year. It's like a joke.
Well, they did offer 15 for 40 with no deferrals, though.
Oh, I didn't see that. The one I saw, had deferrals. But still, 15 for 440, like, let's be honest, that is an underpay for Juan Soto. Why would he sign that?
Yeah, he's going to get $500 million.
Yes, should. Like, he's worth it. Like, this is, you know, it's a lowball offer. It was a lowball offer. Even though it's ridiculous to say a $440 million offer is a lowball offer, that was a lowball offer.
Well, and you must have missed it. While you were on your staycation, but dude, like, they made him fly commercial to the home run derby.
Oh, I saw it. Oh my god, it was like, dude, what are you guys doing here? Like, what are you doing?
Jeez. It's pretty insane. It really is. I couldn't imagine that happening here. I think I would cry on the radio.
I think you would drive in on Sunday and say, I don't care. Tom Kelly, get off the air. This is my this is my possession. I need to talk.
Yep. See you, Teeks. okay. I'll try to speed through this draft thing for you.
Please. Could you, Val? I thought we were going to be done 15 minutes ago.
I don't care. All right. I'll go fast. But these are my favorite picks of the draft. Mavis Graves, which is just a phenomenal name. I mean, can't you just
great
see?
Name. Great.
It's a great name. So he wasn't on much draft radars, I'd say. But he was committed to Clemson, which I think is one of the better programs in the country. And just in watching him, like, they and Brian Barber talked about this in his press conference after the draft. Like, they see that there's much more to him. And he's already up to 92 with like legitimate sync to his stuff. So you would think that if he gets into a college program, there's more there. And I just, the way I wrote it was like, I think he would be a top two round pick in 3 years when he's ready to come out, and the Phil's got him a little bit later, and they're banking on development, and I think they're going to do a good job with him. So I know he's like off of a lot of radars, but I'm pretty excited about that. Orion Kirkering, USF kid, he like did not have good college stats at all, but like holy cow, when you watch his stuff, it's just stupid. So another one of the, like the thing about this draft that it was frustrating going through it in the moment, but it's like they had the 27th most money available just because of the your boy. They had to sign and lose a second round pick again. So they didn't have much money. They wanted to save it to get one of the players later, but the pitchers that they got, like, just like this stuff just pops. And I don't care what they did in college, but every single pitcher they drafted was like, the stuff pops. So that's exciting. They didn't get as many big name guys as I was like looking for in the draft, but when you look at the money and the circumstances, like, it just wasn't going to happen. But anyway, Orion Kirkering, he reminds me of Bruce Starr, Gratterall. Not as ridiculous as a fastball, but like same kind of mechanics. And his slider is disgusting. Alex Roa is a Notre Dame kid who just looks like a big time reliever. Has interesting change up movement. Kind of, you know, not Devin Williams, but similar movement to Devin Williams. Won't be as good. I'm not saying that, but some legitimate upside there. Gabriel Rincones Jr. is this corner outfielder slash first baseman from Florida Atlantic. He only played there for a year, and 2 years before that, he's playing in a JUCO. So, like, I think he's barely on anyone's radar, but, like, he raked at FAU. Similar kind of profile to Ethan Wilson last year that I liked a little bit, but or I liked a lot, and has been off to a slow start. But I think he has really good bat-to-ball skills and a lot of natural power. So I think if he had played another year of college baseball, he goes higher than what he did. But I think the Phillies might have stolen a player there. So I'm excited to see him. Alex McFarland, I think, is this year's Griff McGarry. I don't know if they're going to make him a starter or a reliever, but the raw stuff, like I saw his one changeup. I swear to God, it moved like 7 inches. It was stupid. So another guy that they gave a ton of or another guy that has a ton of raw stuff that I can't wait to see how they develop. And the last one is Amarian Boyd, who heading into the year was like a top 85 prospect on some big sites. But, you know, didn't have a great high school year, I guess. But at every big showcase event, did hit well. And you look at the tools and it's, man, he's fast. He's got quick hands. It seems like he changes his swing a lot. But if they can get him right, they got a legitimate upside player there. Like, it reminds me a lot of Chris Young, the old Diamondback center fielder. So, you know, I think he's going to be a really interesting player.
Crispy.
And the more I watch. Yeah. And finally, this was never a surprise to anyone, but I have talked myself into Justin Crawford.
Shocking. Who could have seen this coming? Yes.
Well, honestly, like, there's a couple
a week things. And a yurt, and you're all in.
Well, there's a couple things. I, Barber was pretty much just gushing about him, and like how I think he was like the main guy they walked into the draft wanting to get. So, listen, if we can't sit here and say we trust Brian Barber with everything, and then he gets the guy that he wanted in the draft and not be in. So if Barber's in, I'm in. The swings that I saw from later in his high school year looked much more clean. It's interesting. He's one of those guys that it seems like he chases a lot, but he doesn't strike out. I think he had a 7% strikeout rate. So I thought that was interesting. He batted at 500. So it seems like he can put the bat on the ball. But yeah, we'll see. So seems like a great makeup and all of that. So talk myself into Justin Crawford. And overall, you know, I wish that they had taken more swings at some starters and some prep bats that had fallen. But when you look at the money, look at the circumstances, that just wasn't going to happen. I think they have at least four really interesting possible bullpen options and a corner outfield bat in Rincones. So I'm excited, as always.
All right. I'll take it.
Love the draft.
I know, buddy. It makes you so happy. I'm happy.
Oh, listen,
happy.
Like, yeah, I was watching the highlights this morning of all the guys just, you know, going through it. And
I don't remember a single name you said. The Mavis name was cool. What's the Mavis name? That's a good name.
Mavis Graves.
Yeah, I'm fully 100% in on Mavis Graves.
And unfortunately for you, I don't think we're going to see him in the big leagues till you're in your mid-40s. Oh, so in 5 years, I'll remind you of Mavis Graves, right?
Yes. Thanks, buddy. I'm 2 months from 41 today.
Wow.
Or tomorrow. Wow. Tomorrow is 2 months from 41. Yeah, buddy.
I am
dying just slowly, day by day. And it's not that slow, Jack. Just dying. It's great. Yeah,
I'm 7 months from 29. So
oh,
I feel your pain.
Oh, the party we're going to have when you turn 30. Oh, buddy, I'm never going to let it. I'm just going to call you old forever once you turn 30. Get ready.
I feel your pain. Two old guys on a podcast.
Two old guys. That's what pods are, right? All right. What else you got? Is that it? We done?
That's all I got. Wow, you can buddy. You can enjoy the rest of your Sunday, pal.
Thanks, pal. That means I'm going to bed. I will say, just saw it. No Arenado and Goldschmidt for the Toronto series. So things are already looking up. So there you go.
Like we always say, James, everything's fine.
We say that far too much. All right, you got any final thoughts or anything?
That's a stupid question.
You're right, it really is. He's for some seltzer. We'll see you later.